Well, we've been working through a series together called The Six Functions of Church. We're almost to the end, and we've been talking about a lot of things that churches should be doing, should be involved in, are involved in. It's our nature to participate in. Worship in the Word, fellowship, prayer, encounters with the Holy Spirit. We've looked at those five over really the last 8 or 9 months with some breaks in between. We've been looking at those functions, and now we're moving to our sixth function, and it's really appropriate that we move to it during the Christmas season. The sixth function has to do with mission. The church is missional. It is called to cross boundaries with the good news, and of course, Jesus Christ is the greatest missionary of all time. He crossed the greatest boundaries from heaven to earth to bring men and women into his eternal kingdom, to translate them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the Father's dear Son. And next week we're going to talk about Christ, the incarnational God, because it is the season when the church everywhere celebrates the coming of Christ, the incarnation, that is God become flesh. But in the lead up to that, I would like to talk about the whole issue of missions a little bit today. It's an important issue. It's something that we should be aware of as believers in Christ, and that we should be very much participatory in. So I want to look at what is called the Great Commission. This is the last thing that Jesus said before he left the earth and was taken up into heaven. It's after his resurrection. He appears to his disciples and is taken up into the presence of the Father. And this is the sixth function that he defines for us. Jesus came and said to them, the disciples who were gathered, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." The word there is ta ethne, and I want to talk about that for a few minutes. What does that mean when he says all nations? We might need to get some clarification on that to understand what Christ is talking about when he's referring to the whole issue of the mission of the church. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, I'm with you always to the ends of the age. So when we talk about the functions of church, we're talking about the things that Christ has commanded us to do and to be involved in. But now we kind of transition into that sixth function, which is mission and service. These functions don't have any necessary order of priority. They all work together. But this is the one that we have come to sixth. When Jesus says ta ethne, the nations, we sometimes don't understand his meaning. When he says go and preach to the nations, many of us, given our the age that we live in, the education that we have, just the way we think, we're thinking that Jesus is saying go to other countries and preach the gospel. Go to other political entities. Go to Belgium, or go to Congo, or go to Japan, or go to Colombia, or go to wherever to preach the gospel. And we think of that in terms of a nation. But that actually is not the term that he's using. It may involve going to any of these places. It certainly may involve crossing geographical barriers. But Jesus certainly wasn't referring to any of those countries, because as political entities, they didn't exist when he made this statement, first of all. But second of all, we want to understand what he's talking about. Do you remember when in Matthew 24, Jesus was talking about the end times, and he said something? He said, "Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." He was talking about two distinct kinds of entities. And it's important for us to understand this in order for us to understand the nature of mission and to understand the opportunities that are right smack dab in front of all of us today, even right where we live. He was talking about two distinct entities. When he talked about nations, he was talking about this word ethne, and I'm going to define it in a moment. When he talked about kingdoms, He talked about basileia, which is from the word for king, and it has the context, the meaning of a political realm, a political entity. The Roman Empire at that time was the major empire of the world. It was a basileia. It was a kingdom, and often found itself in conflict through the centuries with other kingdoms. For instance, most specifically, the kingdom of Persia over the years. These were political entities, but within the Roman Empire, there were many nations, some of which had governments, some of which didn't. My point is this. Jesus had something very specific in mind when he said to preach the gospel to the nation, something very specific. Go to the nations, ta ethne. What does he mean? He's not talking actually about a political or geographic designation or even destination, though it certainly might involve that. What he's talking about is a cultural destination, an ethnic destination. There are some cities in the world where you don't have to go very far at all to run into completely different cultural and ethnic destinies. You can walk down the street in some large cities of the world, New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago. You can just walk down the street and you're in an area where a lot of folks are speaking a different language. Where on the sign, there's a completely different alphabet. In the restaurant, which is why you went there, is a completely different kind of food. And you'll see on the walls, I'll tell you what, you can walk right down the street in Stanton and find this. On the walls is another place and another God. It's another ethne. You just walked into a different world. You may not even realize it. You're in a different cultural entity without making much of a geographical journey, without going very far. When Jesus said, preach the gospel to the nations, he had something very specific in mind. He was not thinking in terms of basileia, of kingdoms, of political realms. He was thinking in terms of people groups. You see, throughout history, as we've studied this, both biblically and beyond, entire people groups have been shut out from the gospel, either by their beliefs or their culture or how far away they are. There's a distance. And Jesus commanded the church, go into these closed off places and proclaim the gospel. That is your mission. That's what you are called to do as God's people. So when we look at mission, this is something we need to understand. Our mission is quite expansive in every way, the concept of mission. And so what we see here is actually the church is missional by nature. Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all the nations. That is who we are. That is the nature of the church. Now, you don't have to go to Mexico to preach or to reach Mexicans. You don't have to go to Central America to preach or reach those in Central America. You don't have to go to Asia to reach people who are from the Asian culture, the Asian ethnic group. You don't have to. You can, and that might be something God calls some of us to do, and it might be something that's necessary in order to fulfill the commission that Christ has given us. But the truth of the matter is, in many cases, that's not even necessary. You go up to our sister church in Harrisonburg. Harrisonburg meets along with, shares facility with, and is fully joined to Pacta Iglesia. That is the Spanish-speaking congregation up there. And we think, oh, well, okay, those are, we think kind of as like a very specific small group. they're reaching a very large group of people who have come to this nation from the Caribbean, from Central America, from Mexico, from South America. They're not even crossing the street. But those groups are being reached. Boundaries are being crossed with the gospel. So when Jesus says, go to the nations or reach the nations, he's saying, penetrate to people who are unlike yourselves, cultures that are unlike yourselves, because every culture, every kindred, every nation, every people, every tribe is destined to hear the word of God. And yes, there are geographical journeys that have to be made, but they are not always geographical. Sometimes there's a completely different kind of journey that needs to be made. And it is a journey into someone else's world that you're not familiar with and maybe not comfortable going to. And maybe even in your mind, you've shut yourself off. Those people are different. Those people are folks for whom Christ died. Those people are members of the ethne. Those people are people whom God has called us to proclaim the word to. The church is missional by its nature. Now, by that means missional, it means that we are programmed to cross boundaries. That's how we are. That's who we are. That's what we should be. You know, to have a nature means that given the right circumstances, you're just going to act out the way that you really are. Now, you think about that. You go to a zoo and you can see a tiger, a lion, or a bear. You don't really see them in nature. You don't really see their nature. They look very placid and docile, and they've kind of been put to sleep in a certain sense of the word. Their nature is dormant, but every once in a while you hear these stories of someone climbing into a cage to play with these beautiful, docile animals. And that's when their nature comes out. And you hear, read a very tragic story of a very mistaken perception. My son Ben had a parakeet years ago. He named it Victory. Victory was the name of that parakeet. And, you know, parakeets are birds, in case you didn't know. And there's something that birds do. Birds fly. You know, that's what they do. Of course, Victory was in a cage, and Ben had never seen Victory fly. Ben thought he was great friends with Victory. He thought he and Victory were like on this first name basis, and no matter what, Victory would want to spend the rest of his life with Ben. So Ben decided, I'm going to do Victory a favor. I'm going to take him out of his cage, and I'm going to go show him to the neighborhood kids. Well, guess what? Victory did what parakeets do. He flew and never came back. And Ben was in shock. How could that happen? If we neglect the truth about mission, we tend to become like cage parakeets. We are made to fly. We are made to take. We are made to go. And I'm not just talking about going all the way around the globe, though it is far more possible and practical today than it used to be. I'm talking about going into cultural cul-de-sacs, cultural distances that are accessible to many of us, without nearly so much effort as might have one day have been necessary. And that is the upside of globalization. There are certainly many downsides, but that is, from our perspective, an upside of globalization. You know, we often hear from the ISI. Some months back, we had Patrick, Christy Lynn, their group, the International Students Ministry, over in Charlottesville. They have thousands, literally, of international students coming into Charlottesville every year. And they're faithfully reaching out to them, very successfully. And these are people who will be and are leaders in their own nation and among their own peoples. When they go back, they have touched made a significant connection with Ta Ethne, another group, another people. When I was graduating from Regent University, I did a master's project. Jane and I spent time with international churches in German-speaking Europe, 16 of them. We visited them. One thing held them together. They used English language in their service. That's the one thing that was the common thing. You know what we discovered? There was an average of 35 countries represented in every single one of those churches. On average, 35 countries represented in those churches. They were little mission stations that were reaching Ta Ethne right from where they were because of the traveling that people did, the going back and forth, the mobility of the day in which we live. And while there are certainly downsides of that mobility, we should see it as an upside, that sometimes the nations are simply coming to us and we still have a mandate, Ta Ethne, to reach that group. Now, there's what Jesus said. This is kind of the Great Commission in the book of Acts. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, the ends of the earth. Now, this is really a key to understanding Acts and to understanding what I want to share with you today, the mission, the nature of mission of the church. This is kind of the central verse in Acts. Acts is about two things. It's about the power of the Holy Spirit. It's about personally encountering the Spirit of God. And it is about the mission of the church. And the truth is, those two things cannot be separated. The Holy Spirit is given for the purpose of executing the mission of the church that Jesus proclaimed just before he ascended into heaven. We read it in Matthew. Now, here the church is called to cross barriers. Well, what kind of barriers would these portend? Well, he told his disciples, you'll be filled with the Spirit and you'll preach my gospel in Jerusalem. Well, that's home to them. But actually, there is a huge divide, the biggest divide there is. The divide between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. The divide between those who have embraced and followed Christ and those who reject him. That's the biggest cultural divide that there is. And so they're in Jerusalem, and there is a very hostile environment. They are imprisoned. They are persecuted. Eventually, Stephen is stoned for his mission. There is resistance. There is a barrier here. It is spiritual and actually religious. And in some sense, cultural. I'll explain what that means. And then they go to Judea, which is part of the same region. And then a very short distance down the road, they are called to go to Samaria. Samaria is a really big distance, not geographically, but culturally. The people in Samaria are different. They are not friendly. In fact, they are sworn enemies, one against the other. They have religious differences. They have differences of ethnicity. They have differences of culture, and they actually don't have anything to do with one another. But what we're going to see is, when that boundary is crossed, power is released. And this is what I want you to see. Mission and power go hand in hand. They cannot be separated. And we can want power, but you know what? We can't have it if we don't engage in its purpose. Its purpose that it is given is not to feel good or to get excited or to say, that was a good service. It is to fulfill the purpose for which it was ordained. That is to fulfill the commission of Christ. So let me give you a piece of advice. Oh, now Steve's going to give me advice. No, let me put that differently. Let me give you a word of encouragement. See, that's spin. That's spin. Let me give you a word of encouragement. No advice, just encouragement. Advice means you have to take it. Encouragement means you want it, see. That's I should work for a politician, you know. If you're reading Acts, there's a way to read it. There's a theme that is being played out in the book of Acts. Here is the theme. Well, I don't know if that is the theme or not. Spirit's powers may fulfill our mission. What is the theme of Acts? Well, here we go. It is in number two. The theme of Acts is that the power of the Holy Spirit is released in crossing boundaries with the gospel. Say, Lord, we want the power of your Spirit in our lives. I'll tell you when and how it is released. When you step out of your comfort zone, the dunamis will flow through you. If we remain in our comfort zone, things get bottled up and they don't go anywhere. Because the nature of the Spirit, just like the nature of a canary or the nature of an animal in the zoo, is to flow out, it's to go out. The purpose of the giving of the Spirit is to take you out of your comfort zone. The place where even you might naturally reside and never leave. So the Spirit's power is given that we may fulfill our natural purpose, which is mission. So, what are the boundaries that are being crossed here? There are a lot of boundaries you and I have to cross in order to fulfill our calling. And I am not declaring to you that you have to do something that is possible, that you have to go up into heaven to do this, or to go down into the depths of the earth. These are opportunities that will present themselves to you. Some of you may need to make decisions and take actions and make sacrifices and do traveling and all of that. But for many of us, that's unnecessary. Because here are the boundaries. The first boundary that we cross is spiritual. There is no greater boundary than the boundary between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And everyone you run into that is not part of the kingdom of light is trapped in, is bound away from you in the kingdom of darkness. And it requires your courage and grace in your life to cross that boundary to share the Jesus Christ that you know with them. And our beloved brother Paul was a master at this. If you ever had a chance to spend time with him at the fairs or any of the outreaches that he would do, the grace that was upon him for crossing those boundaries was phenomenal. And the ability to get into a one-on-one conversation with people about the meaning of eternal life, about the meaning of their eternal soul, that spiritual boundary is the first step in the mission of the church. But it's not the last step. Jesus did say there were geographic boundaries, the ends of the earth. That's a geographic boundary. It's a big one. There are also political boundaries. He was sending them to places that were different entities, different jurisdictions. And they took it upon themselves, and we'll, after the first of the year, we'll look at Paul and Barnabas. They took it upon themselves to go into different jurisdictions, and it was not easy. There were linguistic boundaries that had to be crossed over. Paul was equipped for his ministry by the fact that he was most likely fluent in Greek, Aramaic, and Hebrew. He could talk to a lot of people. And that there was a common language, Greek, that everyone understood. But there are boundaries. There have been and always will be linguistic boundaries. There always have been and always will be. And groups like Wycliffe Bible Translators and others have spent time bridging these gaps because we're commanded to cross these boundaries. I think some of the biggest boundaries, and we're going to see in a little bit, that even the early church didn't always know to cross them. Some of the biggest boundaries are what I call cultural boundaries. What's a cultural boundary? Culture is defined many, many ways. It really is what a society cultivates. That's where the word culture comes from. Language might define a culture. Some places you go, you might not realize you're in a different culture, but if you go other places, you realize definitely I'm in a different culture. Language, custom, religion, history, and then ethnicity, genetic traits tend to be locked within culture groups because they share all of these things, language, culture. Language, culture, and history. But Jesus says we are crossing boundaries not accidentally. We'll see that it was done accidentally, but he has called the church to cross boundaries on purpose. On purpose. After the first of the year, I'll talk about missionaries on purpose, because the church isn't doing on purpose missionary work at this stage that we're going to be looking at. It's happening accidentally. And I'm saying to you, as brothers and sisters in Christ, you have opportunities to cross spiritual boundaries, to cross cultural boundaries, and to cross ethnic boundaries that you may not be aware of. And if you read the book of Acts, every time a boundary is crossed, the power of the Holy Spirit is released. That is what it is a record of. These miracles happen when boundaries are crossed. That's when the Spirit moves and is moving in its most powerful and profound way. So these are some of the things that are being referred to. God loves all people. There is no reason to reject or to be reticent toward any people group, any person, anyone from any background or any ethnic group whatsoever. God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But the truth of the matter is, people, by spiritual force and by natural forces, get locked behind barriers. They are locked out. Samaritans were locked out by a deception, that they understood the true God that had many contradictions from the Hebrew God, who was the true God, and Jesus, the Messiah, who was the fulfillment of the teaching of the Hebrew God. And it took miracles to bring them out from under the power of that boundary. That's what missions is about. It is about the release of the power of the Holy Spirit to cross boundaries. That is when the church is fulfilling its very nature to soar. That's what we are called to be. What we're going to see is that the first cross-cultural missionaries were accidental missionaries. This was totally unplanned on their part. This is not an uncommon thing, actually, in the world that we live in. You see, what happened was Stephen was fulfilling the Great Commission along with the apostles and many others in Jerusalem. He was preaching the gospel. He was declaring the word of God. Great miracles were being done. And he became dangerous to the status quo, to the system that exists, both the religious and political system. He was brought before the Sanhedrin, and a miracle happened. He appeared as an angel. And then you all know the story. He was stoned. He was killed for his witness. Jesus never said crossing the boundaries would be easy. In fact, suffering is a part of the crossing of the boundaries. That's why when Paul was called, the Lord said, I will show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So when Stephen was stoned, a persecution broke out, led by a man named Saul of Tarsus. A persecution broke out, and the people were scattered everywhere. It wasn't a plan. It was an accident. It's something that happened that wasn't part of their design at all. And yet God had a greater design, because his design has never changed, that every nation, kindred, people, and tongue, all ethne, are going to hear the gospel, and out of every group on the face of the earth, a people is going to be taken for my name, says the Lord. A people from every name, every group under heaven shall be brought into the kingdom of heaven. It is the only truly, permanently international and global kingdom. It is the kingdom of God. It's the only one that will work. So, here's what happens. After the persecution, it says there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, the day Stephen was stoned. They were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles, who remained in Jerusalem, I think, for the stability of the church and its witness. It's dangerous for them to stay there, actually. Devout men buried Stephen, made a great lamentation over him, but Saul was ravaging the church, entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison, and so rightly they fled. They went elsewhere. And here's what we see. Those who were scattered went about preaching the word. They just did what they always do. They proclaimed the faith. They shared their faith in Christ wherever they went. And it says, Philip went down to the city of Samaria. This is the crossing of a significant boundary. And proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip. And when they heard him and saw the signs that he did, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who had them. And many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city. Here's what you see. Philip now goes down to Samaria, crosses this barrier with these people who are enemies of the Jews, declares the word, and there is a release of great power, because the theme of the book of Acts is power is released when barriers are crossed. That is the nature of the Christian mission. And every time you see power in Acts, barriers are of this nature being crossed. So these first cross-cultural missionaries were accidental missionaries. This happened almost by accident. They were running away. We'll see this again in a moment. Now, I've heard about these kinds of things in my own experiences. I had a student in the seminary in Ukraine. We've in the past had any number of students from what we call the Stan republics. These are predominantly Muslim republics, and the people that come out of there are people from Muslim backgrounds who have embraced faith in Christ, and they are tremendous messengers to their people, but they are very heavily persecuted. I had one student, I won't tell you from which republic he was from, but he began meeting with people in his home, gathering students, believers in his home, and they grew to 30 and to 50. And these were native people who had come from Islamic background, another culture. This was crossing a big barrier. And he was one among them who had come to know Christ. And they began to gather and gather, and then they came under intense scrutiny and pressure from the authorities. He was put in jail. And he said, if you do it again, we'll put you in jail and we'll take money from you. He did it again, and they did it again. And when he got out, he says, if you do it again, we're going to send you out of the country. He did it again, and they sent him out of the country. And his testimony is that there are more people from that ethnic background and from that republic of the former Soviet Union in the city of St. Petersburg, where he was sent, than any other place in the former Soviet Union. He says, now my church is seven times the size of what it was with people from the same background. It was an accident, but God used it because he was able to reach his own people, but in another place. He was preaching to the nations, and God set it up that he would cross this boundary with much less difficulty than otherwise. And Gary Frankson, who works at Christian Aid Mission, and they are deeply involved in this, knows the man I'm going to refer to, whom I talk about often, Prem Pradhan. A man from Nepal who was converted to Christ. The jail term for converting another in that country was 6 years in prison. 1 year for converting. Prem began to preach and baptized. He came to Christ in India, and they put him in prison. He went in prison. Many of the prisoners were political prisoners. He began to preach the gospel, and the prisoners would come to Christ. Well, the jailers didn't like that, so they sent him to another prison. And he preached the gospel there. And more prisoners came to Christ. And so they sent him to another one. And they sent him on a preaching tour all over the country. He stayed at our house once. Jane and I had him when we were in Orange. And he's a very interesting man. He didn't like to sleep in beds. He said, you know, I prefer to sleep on the floor. I like a nice, hard thing under my back. I took him once to the jail in Charlottesville, where we did Bible studies years ago. He comes in and he looks around. He saw the library, saw the nice, warm, nicely lit room where we had our Bible studies and the kitchen and the laundry. He says, oh, what a nice jail. I thought he might want to move in or something, you know. I wasn't sure. He was very impressed. Anyhow, he won people of Christ all over the country by accident. And that was an unreached group at the time. He was an apostle to that people. Kind of a hard way to get the job done, though. So this isn't uncommon that missionaries should be accidental missionaries, or that pressure would create these situations. Distress is not a hindrance to the gospel. God's people and purposes often thrive in adversity. We need to understand it. We do not need to be afraid of distress and adversity. And distress and adversity enters our lives in many ways. Nobody asks for it. Nobody wants it. But God can use it. God can use it. We need to have faith to understand that, to embrace it, and to follow it. Now, I want to say something about intentional missionaries briefly before moving on to my last point. That is a monument on the grounds of Williams College. That monument commemorates something called the Haystack Prayer Meeting. If you take missions courses or the perspectives on the World Christians Movement, it'll probably talk about what happened there. That happened in 1806. There was a prayer meeting in a thunderstorm right there on Williams College. And out of that was founded an American mission board that sent missionaries on purpose all over the world, among whom was Adoniram Judson. I just want you to know that by accident isn't the only way that missions are done. They're also done on purpose. And That prayer meeting in 1806 is marked as a turning point for American missions in the modern age. Do you know what's happening to that monument right now? And I want you to understand just the atmosphere we're living in. That monument, according to an article in the Christian Examiner, honoring the formation of the first American Missionary Society, may be in jeopardy of removal because some perceive it as offensive to indigenous peoples worldwide. Located on the campus of Williams College, established in 1793, the monument is among a list of items being reviewed by a committee for their cultural, quote, appropriateness to modern times and impact on today's campus climate. According to the news site, this is the second time this year the Committee on the Campus Space and Institutional History at Williams has reviewed a so-called controversial works of art at the institution. Now, it's believed that it probably won't be removed, but they'll put up some indication of the context to kind of explain why they really don't necessarily like what this represents. Friends, we are in a different atmosphere today. We have boundaries in our own backyard that we must cross that are not, well, they might be cultural, but they are as much spiritual as many in the early church had to cross. We must stand fast in our faith. We must stand fast in our willingness to proclaim the faith and to pursue the faith of Christ. Fourthly, God blesses the missional church. We see this here. They kind of pick up the story of what Philip did in chapter 11. Those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch. Notice this, speaking the word to no one except Jews. They crossed geographic boundaries, but ethnically and culturally, they didn't go across the street. They only spoke to people like themselves. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also. That was the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people around them from the nations. Some of them crossed this boundary and they preached the Lord Jesus. People not like themselves. And it says the hand of the Lord was with them. You see, there's a connection between the moving of the Spirit and the crossing of the boundaries, proclaiming the faith, especially to those unlike ourselves. And a great number who believed turned to the Lord. And the report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church, taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. And later at another time, we'll look at the outcome of all of this. See, the hand of the Lord was with them. And I want to tell you, as you step out of your comfort zone, whatever that means for you, the hand of the Lord will be with you. He will help you. He will show up. So what did they do? This church of accidental missionaries acted in keeping with their nature. They were witnesses and disciples before they were scattered. They were witnesses and disciples after they were scattered. They crossed ethnic and geographic boundaries. And when they moved geographically, they also had to cross ethnically. They had to reach out to people, different languages, different cultures, different backgrounds, even different religious beliefs. No one is beyond the reach of the gospel. And because of this obedience, I believe, linked with this obedience, they experienced God's power. They experienced God's blessing. Much people were added to the kingdom. Greatest missional act in all of the universe and all of history is the incarnation. You can be Christ to others who are different from you. Jesus represented, God became flesh to those who had no idea of who he was or where he really came from. That's what we celebrate in the Christmas season. And so God calls us to this. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This is the ultimate cross-cultural expression, the ultimate missional act. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is the purpose of our mission, and it is the Holy Spirit that empowers our mission, and that is why we want to be filled with the Spirit, that we might engage in the mission that Christ has given to his church. It may involve going across the earth, but it definitely involves going across many other kinds of boundaries as well. I want us to stand and pray. I want to ask our worship team to come. You open the gates of heaven. Let's reprise that first song that we shared together. Let's stand up. Lord, you have given your church a mission, and it is to go and to reach others across spiritual boundaries, geographic boundaries, linguistic boundaries, ethnic boundaries, every kind of boundary. You're calling all people from every nation, kindred, people, and tongue to yourself. Lord, I pray for your church right now, that we will see the opportunities that you have put in our hands, and that we might engage in them, and we might pursue them, and we might be that what we're called to be, not locked in a cage, but released to become the fulfillment of your commission to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.